Awesome. Thank you very much, Bill. Geez, what a fantastic meeting. It's amazing to see all these people here. Welcome all the day counters. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Danny, and I'm grateful to God and AA. I did not have to take a drink today. And I am just as amazed by that as anybody else is. There's a bunch of people that were betting on me, including myself, that I was not going to be staying sober for any length of time. The reason being is I love drinking. I loved how I felt when I drank. It was that simple. I had no idea how full of fear I was. I had no idea how angry I was. I had no idea how emotionally disturbed I was until I had my first magical drink of alcohol. The first time I drank, it was absolutely not magical. I was very sick. I did a lot of throwing up, and I did not ever want to drink peppermint schnapps again, and so I didn't, right? But sometime later, I don't know when it was, but I had that drink that changed my insides. And I felt better than I'd ever felt, seemingly, since I'd been born. I felt wonderful. And I made a decision that night that I wanted to do that again. I didn't plan on drinking the next morning, I didn't plan on drinking the next day. I was just content knowing that we're going to do this again, right? That's all it was for me. I felt wonderful, and the fear was gone. And I wasn't worried about what you thought of me. I wasn't concerned about what I thought of me. I was just comfortable in my own skin. And my problem is my honesty. I did not know that when I came here. I did not know that as a kid. They talk a lot about and how it works about honesty. And I did not know that was my problem, other than the allergy to alcohol. And I'm one of those guys that for a few years of my drinking, I drank as often as I could, and it turned into as much as I could, as often as I could, as fast as I could. And not knowing that I was predestined to be alcoholic. I come from a good home, real good home. I was loved. I had everything I needed, and a few things that I wanted. I still got everything I need and a few things that I want, but I recognize it now. I had it back then, but it wasn't good enough. And one of the reasons why I keep coming back here is because on my own, having everything I need and a few things I want is not good enough for me again. And that's always the temptation to fall into that, right? So, I drank, I went to school, I did the best that I could, you know. My goal was to do as little as I could and get the most return for it. So I graduated high school with a cumulative 1.6, and if I could have found a way to do less and still graduate, I would have. But that was my goal, to do as little as I could and get by. And again, I just wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I wasn't at peace. I was distracted from it. There was whatever it was that I was doing in my life. If I was distracted from it, I wasn't thinking about it, I was fine. But as soon as I wasn't doing anything and I got a chance to start thinking about something, I was afraid of what you thought about me. I was afraid about what I looked like. I was afraid. And if you're anything like me, I can't live in fear and stay awake. I need some relief, right? And that's what alcohol did for me until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And this program gave me a means of eliminating sometimes, reducing the fear, getting me back into the moment where I like what's going on with my life and who I am and what I am. I came to AA once and I didn't stay. What I found out later on was that you guys were telling me your story, and thank God you guys tell me your story, not what I need to do. You told me your story and what you did, but I couldn't hear you. And, I got in some trouble drinking. Who doesn't? It's worth the price to pay, right? It's worth the price of admission. And I was okay with that. And, as my drinking went along, I started to drink more. As my drinking went along, I started to want to do less and less I was drinking. As my drinking moved on, I didn't care if I did anything else anymore. You know, I just wanted to get away from where I was at the moment. And if I could just get comfortable, it didn't matter if I did anything. And that was my problem. And the drinking got me into other things. And I would have never done the other things had I not been drinking. You know what I mean? And God, I love the line in the 12 and 12 in the first step, because I don't know about you, but as my drinking started to progress and as the disease started to grab a hold of me, and I started to have these conversations about why my drinking had changed. Because after a while, I wanted to start drinking less. I didn't ever want to be sober again, right? But I wanted to be drinking less. And I made promises to myself and made promises to my girlfriend. Then later on, my fiance. I made promises to people that I'm not going to drink so much because, you know, I don't know about you. I'm the guy who knows every morning when I wake up what happened yesterday. I may not remember it, but I know that I drank too much yesterday. And I knew that the solution would be don't drink so much, right? Simple solution. So that was my intent on a pretty regular basis, was to not drink so much. I never wanted to be sober once I had the magical effect. And so that was the new goal, right? But the problem was, even after I made a promise to me, even after I made a promise to others that I wasn't going to embarrass them, I wasn't going to embarrass and humiliate me, I would drink more than I planned, you know? And the line in the 12 and 12 says that our sponsors declared that we are victims of a mental obsession so subtly powerful that no amount of human willpower can break it. And I had a lot of arguments with myself as to why I couldn't stop when I wanted to, not knowing about the phenomenon of craving, which only an alcoholic experiences. I had no idea. But when I read that line, it was like all of my arguments got answered in one sentence. You know, I didn't know. And like I said, I'd come to AA. You guys told your story, but I couldn't hear you. I was really hard of hearing, really hard of hearing. I didn't hear get a sponsor. I didn't hear get a home group. I didn't hear get involved. I didn't hear any of that stuff. I was at the meetings. I didn't hear any of it. I was too preoccupied with me. And when I came back this time, and I remember the night that I drank after, I don't know, probably 3 months of sobriety. I remember going out with a guy that we used to do some drinking together. And I remember him telling me, he says, you want to go out? I'm like, yeah, we went to go to an auto show down over in Detroit, right? And we were coming back, and I told him before we went out, I'm like, listen, I am not drinking tonight. Everybody that knew me knew, everybody that knew me does not have a problem with me not drinking. They don't want me around anymore because of my drinking. And I told this guy, I says, I'm not drinking. He goes, that's good. You shouldn't. And so we go out, and we're coming back on the way home, right? And he says, so how long have you been sober? And I said, I've been sober about 3 months. And all of a sudden, that thing that they talk about in the big book where it says, at times we have no effective mental defense. Sometimes, not much. Sometimes every once in a while I can say no. But this night, like most of the other nights of my life, I said, yeah. And I didn't want to drink at that minute. And then the switch in my head went off. And all of a sudden I thought, you know, I've been sober for a little bit. And I didn't get into an argument with me and I didn't think much about it. I said, let's stop and get something to drink. He says, I thought you weren't drinking. I says, don't worry, it'll be okay, right? I planned on drinking that night and coming back to some AA meetings after that night. But we're going to have a drink this evening. That one drink lasted 2.5 years. I had no intention of drinking for 2.5 years. I had no intentions on drinking 2 nights. But that one drink turned into 2.5 years. And That was the fatal nature of my alcoholism. I can't stop when I want, and I can't keep from starting. I came in here in trouble from a priest. He says, "I cannot in good conscience marry you. You're an alcoholic." And so this is why I come into AA, right? So I can get married to my high school sweetheart. And I come into AA this time, and I heard the stuff that you guys were saying before that I couldn't hear. I heard get a home group. I heard 90 meetings in 90 days. I heard some stuff that didn't necessarily coincide with what was in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. But nevertheless, it was one alcoholic trying to help out another alcoholic, talk to another alcoholic. And I can hear. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. I got a job making coffee. Started to get involved. And I started to try and tell the truth. And if you're new, and if you got some stuff that you're sitting on, my only hope is that you get with somebody and try and tell the truth as best you can. When it talks about and how it works, it says, "We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start." Man, we're not telling you what to do. We're begging you, give this thing a shot. Just give it a shot and see if it works. See if after you tell the truth, you don't feel a little bit better. And maybe you won't have to drink the rest of the day, right? And I was amazed at how that worked, So I got a home group. I got involved. I started to make coffee. And what ended up happening is that poor gal, she got wise to me and got kind of tired of me because now I'm never home. And she took off and went her own way. And I remember the one day that I'm about 6 or 7 months sober. And the gal's not there. The apartment that I was renting was not there, and we were real busy in the industry. I'm a tool maker. We were real slow at work, and I had been laid off. And I remember talking to my folks at the time, asking if there was any possibility I might be able to move back home for a minute, because one of the things that alcoholism made me into was it made me into a thief, and I'd stole a bunch of money from my parents, and they're like, "Absolutely not. You are not moving back into here." And I understood that I did that. And I thought, everything is kind of gone. I'm going to one more meeting to see how this thing goes. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to drink today. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. And I went to one more meeting and I told the truth, right? And these people that I had been running with, these people that pulled me in, had, said, "Hang on, we'll talk after the meeting. Don't worry, you're not going anywhere." And I did not have to drink that day. And I did some couch surfing from people in AA. But when it was all said and done, what I didn't know was that was God doing for me through AA, through Alcoholics Anonymous. I used to beg God when I'm stinking drunk to please cure me or kill me. Because I heard stories growing up in a religion. I heard stories of miracles, right? And I wanted a miracle too. But what I didn't know that, because I'm an alcoholic first, I got to come here, right? And all of the simple stuff that I did early on is the same stuff that I'm doing today. The exact same things. I get on my knees in the morning. My first sponsor says, "I don't give a F what you believe." He says, "You will get on your knees and you will ask God to remove the mental obsession, and He will." And I thought, yeah, we'll see. Right? And it was removed. I could not believe that that was God doing for me what I could not do for myself. He said that was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Right? And, I could not believe that that was happening to me. I wanted a miracle. I knew I needed a miracle, right? But I didn't think I was worthy of any miracles. And sure enough, this process, by coming in here, by telling the truth, by getting a home group, by getting involved, and then by trying to help another alcoholic, taking the steps, I got more suicidal 11 months sober because I had this image, these lies. I wasn't honest, honest, right? I got sober and I started to work the steps at 11 months sober, and the want to commit suicide went away too, started to go away too. And this is an amazing process, right? And I'm still sponsors. I've had a handful of sponsors, Ralph S, Bob D, Chris A, Chris S. My current sponsor is Mark P. I love the man. I've loved all the people that God's put into my life. And I didn't see any of them coming the way
Amen.
that they came. Thank you. All right. So I started to pass this thing on and I started to feel like I've got something to offer, you know? And I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you have anything to give anybody, I know that feeling very well. But if you come here, it will be replaced. It will be replenished. And that feeling of worthlessness is going to leave. And that feeling like life ain't worthwhile is going to leave. You know, when I turn in too much, I can still get a little nutty in the head, right? If I'm not careful, I can still get really angry. You know, I don't live there though. You know, I just don't. I didn't know why I was born. I didn't, you know, I ask all these great big questions that ain't got no answers, right? I would just drive myself batshit crazy. And my first sponsor, Chris, he used to say, "You're the only guy I know that it pushes that only pushes every one of his own buttons at the same time," you know, which is contradictory to me, you know, declaring that I'm a victim. But anyhow, Cliff Notes version, right? Stay sober, work the steps, start sponsoring others, keep a home group. And I end up saying this prayer because I got this relationship with God now. I say an honest prayer, you know, I can't pick a gal. If you don't pick the next one, I'm done. I'm going to mess it up again. And you and I both know this. And I said that prayer twice. Not long after that, I seen a gal that I knew from meetings, except I seen her in a different light. And we've been sober March 25th, 1995. I got married. I wasn't planning on marrying this gal. Something really magical happens when I am not looking at you with my vision and with my eyes. Things look different. My job looks different. My mom looks different. The people around me look different, you know? And that was just a matter of saying an honest prayer, you know, a couple times, but you know what I'm saying. And when things got crazy with COVID, I had a friend and things were getting locked down, shut off here in Michigan, all over the world, right? I said an honest prayer because a buddy of mine was telling me about jumping onto Zoom and how AA had a presence there. And I said an honest prayer. I said, "Listen," I says, "if you don't give me a sense of appreciation for this, you and I both know that I'm a dead man. Because what I am is an alcoholic magnet. If I don't hang out with you guys, I'm gonna hang out with us out there. It's just what I do. I can't change that identity about me. It's not a perilous thing. It's not a dire sense of urgency, but I needed a sense of appreciation for this. And since I know I don't appreciate change, I said that honest prayer. If you don't give me a sense of appreciation for the Zoom, for AA on Zoom, I'm a dead man. And I'm telling you, I was handed a sense of appreciation. I know a bunch of people who made it through that, refused to go to a meeting on Zoom, refused to go any meetings until meetings got opened back up, whatever. They made phone calls, they did whatever. But what I know is without this program and without a God of my understanding, that this program changed my understanding and gave me, I don't have a sense of appreciation for anything. So I'm really grateful to be sober. I'm really, this is really cool to see this many people, over 100 people at a meeting. Thank you very much for keeping me sober today. I plan on going to a brick and mortar tonight. And I wish everybody the best one day at a time. Thanks. God bless.